Hey, New Life Gillette Church, we are thrilled you decided to listen to our teaching on your favorite podcast app. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, would you let us know by visiting yes.newlifegillette.com? Here is this week's teaching.
Hey, happy Mother's Day. We got any moms in the room? Yeah? Somebody give a mom a hug. Say I love you. Yeah, good stuff. Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching on church307.com, to our friends over at the prison and over at the jail, and those of you who are here in the room. We are finishing our Galatians series today. It's a super practical book, and it's kind of one of those books that just kind of gets down to the basic details of what you need to know and what you need to do, and so we're kind of concluding that series today. Next Sunday, I'm very excited, we're doing Awaken Sunday. As many of you know, we're a part of a church planting network called the Awaken Network. And we're going to spend next Sunday talking about the Awaken Network and what it means to be called into church planting. Caleb Smith, who is our church planter in Casper, is going to be here to speak. And we're going to talk about Paul and Karen's church plant coming up in Washington and all the things that are happening. So make sure you're here for Awaken Sunday next week. And then the next week, we're starting a new series called More Than Animals. We're going to talk about how are humans different than animals? What separates us? What differentiates us? And what should that mean for how we live our lives? It'll be a fun series, and we're going to do a life group season during that series so we can kind of discuss some of the more hot topic issues in our world today, especially concerning relationships. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. I went to Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Anybody been to Oklahoma Wesleyan University? Yeah, a couple of you. So I'm very passionate about this school and just kind of call it Christian colleges, Christian universities in general, primarily not just because you don't have to deal with all the stupid craziness that goes on college campuses today, but also because I think one of your primary motivations when you go to college is to find an awesome spouse, right? That was my almost singular motivation in going to college, and that kind of played out that way in college. I just did a lot of dating. That was just kind of what you did. You got to figure out who you're going to marry, and I spent the whole time building a list of the things, not really the things I didn't want in a spouse, but mostly, actually, what I was learning was the things I didn't want, not the things I did want. It's like, nope, none of that, nope, none of that. So then I could figure out pretty quickly in the dating process, okay, after one date, I can begin to compare to my list that I had created and figure out who I wanted to marry. And so I think it's a good idea, if you are in the process of finding a spouse, to surround yourself with good candidates. If you're just showing up at a bar all the time and hoping to find a good spouse, maybe there's a chance you're going to find a good candidate. But why not go where there's a higher concentration of good candidates, right? Like a Christian university. And so that's what I did. Have you ever heard of a DTR talk before? Anybody know what DTR stands for? Somebody knows. Define the relationship. And this is the conversation you have after you've been dating somebody for a little bit where you say, okay, let's figure out, is this working? Do we want to do this long term? Is this becoming something bigger? And usually what happens is you decide whether or not you want to go to a deeper level of commitment or to less commitment. Do I want to lean in or do I want to step back from the relationship? And usually what leaning into the relationship means is more commitment, more responsibility. I've got to make sure that I'm sacrificing for the relationship, doing the things that a good relationship requires. I've got to make investments into it. I got to hold up my end of the deal. We're going to figure out who's doing what chores. We're going to figure out how are we going to combine our finances and how are we going to spend our money and make decisions and all these things. So you have a define the relationship talk in order to figure out, are we ready for that kind of commitment to sacrifice a little bit for this relationship? Is it that valuable to us? And you need to have this kind of relationship when you're in any kind of romantic relationship, right? Otherwise, it'll fall apart. You'll end up in fights. You'll have problems. Somebody's not going to pull their weight. Somebody's not going to do their fair share. So I think I would like to have with you a DTR talk today, not between you and I. I would like to facilitate a DTR talk between you and God. You know, there's a lot of people in this room who have recently begun new relationships with Jesus. Many of you gave your lives to Christ at Easter this year. So you've kind of tried it on, gone on a couple dates, you've done some quiet times, gone to church a couple times. Now it's time to take a step back and say, okay, so what do I think of this? Is this good for me? Is this worth my time? Is it worth the investment? Do I need to invest more? Do I need to lean in more? Or is it not really for me and I'm going to take a step back and go date other gods? Where are you at in your relationship with God? Because the truth is, if you are in a relationship with God, you are in a relationship with someone who's perfect. So if there's an issue in the relationship, the problem is not who you're in the relationship with. God's not making mistakes. He's not the problem in the relationship. If there's a problem in your relationship with God, the problem, I hate to break it to you, is you. If there's a problem between me and God, the problem isn't God, the problem is me. And I've got to decide, do I want to shape up? Do I want to start figuring things out and making some fat sacrifices and making some changes? Or do I kind of like the deadbeat version of me and I'm just going to stay the way I am, right? In your relationship with God, you can choose to either be a deadbeat or a disciple. You can either invest in the relationship and do the hard things that relationship requires, or, which is what a disciple is, a follower, or you can just kind of, hopefully somebody else will do it. Hopefully somebody else will pick up the house. Hopefully somebody else will do the chores. Hopefully somebody else will pay the bills. Or you can get involved. You can step up. You can play your part. Will you sit on the sidelines and hope somebody else is going to put in the work? Or will you help the team win? Will you get in the game? So I'm going to help you answer a question that I think every Christian at some point has to answer. Because there's no question about what God calls us to be and what he calls us to do in our relationship with him. His instructions are pretty clear. Here's what it means to be a disciple and not to be a deadbeat. Here are the things that you need to do. So every Christian at some point has to ask themselves, should I be a missionary? And what's the answer to this question? We all know the answer. The answer is, yes, you should. The problem is, you're hesitant to answer the question because most people who hear the word missionary think, I gotta move to Africa. If I say yes to the missionary question, I'm gonna end up in Haiti. I obviously can't live in a white community if I'm gonna be a missionary, right? This is what I grew up thinking about what a missionary is, because we would have Missionary Sunday at the church that I grew up in, and the missionaries were always missionaries to other countries, in places where they didn't speak the language. But that really is not consistent with what we see in the Gospels and what we see in Acts and what we see in Paul's missionary journeys and his books. He was oftentimes ministering to people that were like a lot like him. They spoke the same language. We're from some, now not always, but sometimes he was. So missionary does not necessarily mean moving somewhere else at all. Missionary could be something that you are called to right where you are sitting, right where you're living. Because it is hearts, not legs, that make missionaries. You've got to have a missionary mindset, a missionary attitude. You know, sometimes, every once in a while, as a pastor, I'll have somebody come up to me and they'll say, Mike, I feel like I'm being called to go on a missions trip. And my first reaction is like, cool, but you don't even volunteer in church. Like, why don't you get the missionary attitude first? Why don't you get a heart for, now maybe a short-term missions trip can kind of help you get that, and then you're going to come home and serve more. I get that all the time. But I think it's valuable for us to just decide, make a decision here and now where I am before I do all the fundraising and try to learn a new language and do all this other stuff. I'm going to decide that I'm going to serve God where I am. Someone will come up to me and they'll say, Mike, I feel like I'm called to preach. I'm like, okay, maybe you should start tithing first or volunteering first. Someone says, Mike, I've been speaking in tongues lately. I'm like, yeah, but you've been gossiping in English. Like, let's mature. Let's grow. Let's do what you're called to do when you're called to do it and not try to jump to some crazy extreme. Allow God to work in you where you are, how he's called you to work right now. So let's jump into Galatians. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. And remember last week, we just talked about a whole list of what it looks like to be good, to follow the instructions of God. What are the fruit of the Spirit? What are the things that he produces in our lives? What kind of community do we create when we live a Spirit-filled, Christ-like life? And what we've learned throughout the book of Galatians is that spiritual maturity is not about what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. Knowledge has a tendency to puff up. If I become a spiritual consumer, constantly gaining more and more knowledge, constantly receiving the ministry of those who are called to be missionaries, of those who are called to be ministers, then all I do is it just puffs up. I get spiritually fat, right? I become lazy. And we don't want either two extremes of this. We don't want to be malnourished with no knowledge, with no information, with no receiving of any kind of teaching or mentorship. That's spiritual malnourishment. But then we also don't want to become fat, the puffed up, the over-receiving and not giving. It's much more about what you do with what you know than what you know. Knowledge is good. But it does not help us unless we put it into action. Faith without works is dead. So it's got to lead to action, is what Paul is saying. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. This is a very misunderstood verse. We love the idea of reaping a harvest of blessing, right? What's a harvest of blessing? The church I grew up in would talk about the harvest of blessing, and usually the blessing was something like a bigger salary, a physical healing, a nicer car. That's not the type of blessing that Paul is talking about here. What is the harvest of blessing he is specifically referring to? What he's talking about is people. That's the blessing. It's brands on the wall in the back of the room. People getting saved. It's people meeting Jesus. It's people finding hope that were lost. It's spiritually sick people being healed. It's kids being taught that they are loved by God. That's the harvest of blessing. We sow seeds of hope. We sow seeds of love and of peace into the world so that God can then raise up a harvest of people that then become the future generations, that then become the church that we will be a part of. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Why? We're working towards the harvest. Especially those in the family of faith. The church misses this. When we think of serving, just like we do with missionary work, We think we have elevated serving people outside of the church above serving people in the church. Work outside of the church above work inside the church. But that's the exact opposite of what Paul is telling us here. If people in the church are not growing, if they're desperate, if they're struggling, then they will not be healthy enough to then go outside the church. I'm not talking bad about missionary work overseas. I'm not talking about doing service outside of the church. I'm just saying he is constantly telling us to prioritize serving where you are. growing where you are, doing what he's called you to do where you are. In Gillette, we have this temptation to constantly think about moving, going somewhere else, doing something different, getting out of my current situation. What has he called you to do where you are? What is the missionary work that you can do in your current circumstance? And then he says, prioritize serving people in the church. I bet this rubs a lot of us the wrong way because we've been preached the opposite so often. But that's not my idea. I didn't come up with this concept. That's Paul that I'm defending here. When the Bible talks about, and you read it regularly, the Bible talks about serving the least of these, helping the poor and the widow, did you know it's almost always talking about serving people in the church, in the fellowship of believers? That's what it's usually prioritizing. And that's why we believe that serving in the church is so incredibly valuable. This place has to be healthy and growing. The Spirit has to be moving here so that then we become the people that have the fruit of our Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, so that we can go out into the world and actually make an impact that's a good impact and not just spreading our unhealth throughout the world. We've got to get healthy so that when we go out into the world, the sharing of our faith is sharing a healthy faith with the world. Okay, watch this.
Well, Kay and Marie, I just want to say thank you to you guys for everything that you guys do. For those of you that are watching, what you should know is that so much of what happens here at New Life happens because incredible volunteers like Marie and Kay and Cindy is usually with them. She's gone today. Do so much work around the church throughout the week to get things prepared for Sunday. They've been here doing it long enough, and I don't even know what all they do. Things just get done because so many faithful people step up and do it. And so we are thankful to you guys for everything that you do. We love you. It's been great getting to know you over the years. And so I just wanted to ask you one question. Why do you do it? Why is it? I mean, you've been doing it for how many years now? Seven, eight years. Yeah. Why do you keep doing it? What do you get out of it? What is valuable to you about this?
When I first started, I just wanted to help and I wanted to get to know people. But the more I get to know people and the more time I spend here, the more relationships I formed, and that's the payoff.
And you guys have built quite a really, how long have you been doing it, Marie?
I don't know how long, but I've been here.
Yeah.
About 4 years.
4 years now?
Yeah.
And you guys come in every Wednesday and you hang out with each other. You get to build relationships with each other and then with the staff. So is there anything else that you'd say why you do it?
Getting to know people is good.
Yeah. And you guys do the coffee shop. You guys stock the chairs in the auditorium. You do things for communion. What else do you guys do?
Christmas time, we do the candles.
Candles, yep. Yeah, so just a lot of the detail stuff that needs to get done. And
we pack the orange bags.
Okay, yep, for the visitors.
Stock that area and the one downstairs.
Yeah.
I do the laundry every week.
For the coffee shop stuff?
Yep.
And there's a third member of your team that's not here today. She's traveling today. Cindy, can you tell us a story you've told me before? What is the story of how Cindy got connected to your group?
One Sunday in church, you were asking for volunteers, and you mentioned some people wash dishes. And that intrigued her. So she came and asked me, what dishes need to be washed? And when I told her it was the coffee pots and the drink dispenser, she said, I can do that. And she's been coming ever since.
What an awesome attitude. I can do that. Like there are jobs that just about anybody can do. There are other jobs that you need kind of a specialized skill set to do. So just being in communication with us about what you can do, what you like doing, really helps us to get people connected to community and a team like an awesome team like this that really can be life-giving for you. Most of the volunteer positions we have at New Life are Sunday morning jobs. And so we need just about everybody to pitch in and volunteer on Sunday mornings. But we also need some people who are going to take ownership of an area, to take care of things without even having to be asked to do it. And so if that's something that you may be feeling a calling to do, to step up and volunteer your time, maybe tell us your talents and the things that you're passionate about, and then we can kind of get you connected to a different area. Would you please just be in communication with us if you have time throughout the week? to pitch in and help out around here at the church. It'd be incredibly helpful to us. And we think it's a lot of fun. We build a lot of community. We get to know people that we would not otherwise get to know. And so that's an opportunity that is available to you. But mostly today, we just want to say thank you to the incredibly faithful people who do it every single week already.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Love you, too.
Are they awesome or what?
Yeah, they are.
And we have a lot of people that do that, come throughout the week and just take care of tasks that I don't even know get done. Sarah comes in, and Jessica comes in, and Cassie comes in. And a bunch of people come in every week and just get things done. And they've kind of taken ownership of an area. We need more people to do that. But even more than that, we need people on Sunday mornings to serve one and worship one. Serve one service, worship the other service. Every single week, just serve one service, worship the other service. It's a small commitment. You're already here, and we need everybody to pitch in and do this. If Jesus showed up here, like in person, on a Sunday morning, and he walked straight up to you, and he looked you in the eyes, and he said, there is a kid down in New Life Kids that I have big plans for. But I need somebody to teach him the Bible stories. Would you teach him the Bible stories? What would you say? You'd say, yeah, duh, absolutely, Jesus. Every single person in this room would not turn Jesus down, right? Well, guess what? That's what he's doing. He has done that in his love letter to you in scripture. He has done that to you. Maybe not physically, but he sent you a letter to say that. Prioritize serving people in the church. That's what he says. Sometimes it's not glamorous. We do have a lot of fun, honestly. Like, I've gotten to know these people who come in here throughout the week and serve on Sunday mornings really well. We always say the easiest way to make friends in New Life is to serve, is to volunteer. Life groups are good, but you kind of got a small group of people and you got to just hope that you like the people in that small group serving. You get a larger group of people and you get to hang out with the staff more and that stuff. Fastest way to make friends in New Life is to volunteer. So some people say, hey, I'm new. How do I get involved? I'm like, it sounds self-serving, but you need to serve because that's the best way to get involved. Think about this. Someone taught Paul scripture, the Apostle Paul. Somebody taught him. When they were teaching Paul scripture, they did not know what was coming of this, how important this would be. But if they did not teach the Apostle Paul the Bible stories, we probably would not have Galatians, the book we're talking about. We would not believe some of what we... Now, the truth is God would have raised somebody up. I know how all that works. But the next Billy Graham might be down in New Life Kids right now. Who's going to step up and teach him the Bible stories? Who's going to step up and show him that Jesus loves him? Who's going to step up and show him what it looks like to serve God with all of your heart, to live out the fruit of the Spirit? Who's going to set that example for him? I cannot think of a way that you can make a bigger impact in our world than to invest in the spiritual health of a young child. There's nothing that you could do that would make a bigger impact. Now, if our focus is all on us, if we have the DTR and just decide, no, I'm just going to focus on me now. I'm just going to be more about me in this season of my life. Well, okay, you're not going to make much impact, but it might be easier. Have you ever heard of the home front? The home front is the civilian population and the jobs that they do while an army is outside of the country or off fighting a battle somewhere. While a nation is at war, everyone has to pitch in, right? Like, especially if it's an important war, a big war, everybody has got to do their part. Well, guess what, Christians? We're in a war. We are in the middle right now of a pretty major battle, much more important than any of the other wars that are going on in the world. But we battle not against flesh and blood. We battle rulers of the unseen world. And it's going to take everybody getting on the home front, Even if you're not on the front lines doing your part, you can fight in the war right now from where you are. Use the gifts that God has already given you. Just sacrifice some time. There's probably a new Christian in this room who could not be here listening to me unless somebody was downstairs holding his baby in the early childhood area. That makes it possible for him to be in this room right now because some sacrificial, servant-hearted person is downstairs holding his baby. By the way, when you pick up your kids in New Life Kids, would you please tell them how thankful you are that they are volunteering their time to take care of your kids? Would you just dote on them? Like, make sure they know how much you love them and appreciate them for what they're doing, and then join them because it's fun. Like, you can serve where you are. There's a teenager up there right now who might be the next Paul Boffman. Who's going to go hang out with them on Wednesday nights and make sure they're not getting in trouble and got a good example of what it looks like to live a good life, a healthy life? Got a little bit of biblical knowledge. Who's going to do that? There's somebody in this room right now who is terrified to come through that door the first time. They did not want to do it. But there was a friendly face outside. And they pulled up and they saw somebody there ready to greet them who went over above and above, brought them a cup of coffee and a donut, walked them over to the new friends area, got them a gift, took them under their wing, helped them out. Will you be that kind of person? Like, the goal isn't just to fill a position so that you can check the box. It's to become a missionary. It's to say, I'm going to find somebody who needs to see the love of God. I'm going to find somebody who needs to know what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. And I am going to make sure that I'm a missionary to them. Don't just check a box. Get a missionary heart. Get a missionary mindset where you're trying to find somebody. You are going to go out of your way to find somebody to minister to. That's the type of tenacity it takes. That kind of sacrificial generosity. I am going to go out of my way to find somebody who needs to be loved, and I am going to love them. I'm not going to leave them alone until they know that I love them. Get that kind of attitude. Stop living for you alone. Start loving sacrificially. Stop thinking about yourself all the time and think about the people around you. We would say, live on mission. That means do the things that God called us to do. Before you consider moving somewhere else, be faithful to do the things in the place that He's already called you to do them. Our culture is turning its back on God. It used to be popular to call yourself a Christian. Guess what? We're not that culture anymore. We are now the outsiders. You are now a missionary in a world that is not like you. We are countercultural. We are different. We are unique. I tell my kids this all the time. You know, your kids probably say this to you. Yeah, but my friends do it. Yeah, but my friends get to. And what do I say to my kids every time? We are different. We are unique. This is what it means to be a Wilson. This is what it means to live in our family. And yes, if you are a part of our family, there are going to be many times in your life when you're going to feel different. You're going to feel like everybody around you is going one direction and you have to go the other direction. That's just what it means to be countercultural. That's what it means, and that's what it should mean to be a Christian. There are certain things where the world is going to act one way and we just say, no, I am not a member of this world. The world is not my home. I am a member of the kingdom. I am a citizen of heaven. So yes, I'm going to act differently. I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to give my time to things that most people don't give their time to. Why? Because we are all called to be missionaries inside the church and outside the church. Does that mean that the Christian mission will fail if you do not play your part? No, it does not. God's got this. He's going to accomplish His goal, His mission, whether you want to get involved or not. Our team is going to win. I promise you that. We are moving in the right direction, even when it seems like we're not. But the incredible gift that has been offered to us is that we get to join the winning team. We get to share in the joy of the victory. We get to be a part of this big plan. Our tagline for New Life Kids is, you are part of God's big story. You were created on purpose for a purpose, right where you are. So play your part. It's a gift. It's a privilege to get to be a part of this. Don't reject the gift. Because God is going to do what God's going to do. You either get on the train or you get out of the way because it's going to run you over. God is going to accomplish his plan with or without you. Job says this about God, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. Jesus does not need us to help him, but he has allowed us to help him. I don't know if we have any cops in the room, but if you do, if you could plug your ears, that would be great, because what I'm about to say is not good. Every once in a while, I'll bring my sons over to the church and we'll go in the parking lot and I'll let them sit in my lap and drive the car around the parking lot. And they love it. They have a blast with it. They feel like so accomplished and they feel so big and they think that they're doing more than they are. But the question is, could I drive the car without my sons? Do I need them steering the car? I'm still doing the pedals and all that stuff, but do I need them to get the car to where it's going? No. But I give them the gift of allowing them to play a part. And in doing so, they get to experience the joy that comes with that. They're doing a little bit of learning along the way. They themselves are growing on the way. This is kind of how it is with the church. God's going to do it. He's got big plans. He's going to accomplish his goals, but we get to be a part of it. Can I just tell you how much fun we have serving God together? My best friends in the world are people that I've met while serving God, doing the mission of this church. So get on mission. Live a life on mission. When you came in today, you were handed a card. So I'd like for you to pull out that card. And my hope is that every single person here fills out that card. Everybody. We all got to play a part. We all got to do something. If you don't want to do it on the card, you can scan the QR code. If you're watching online, feel free to scan the QR code. And I just want to say, for those of you watching on Church 307, maybe you can't get here in person on Sunday mornings. That's fine. Where are you? Serve where you are. There's something around you that needs to be done. There's somebody around you that needs to be loved. So get on mission. Do what God has called you to do where you are. We all have to answer the question, what is it going to look like for me to live for others and live for the kingdom rather than living for myself? There are opportunities all over the place. Right now mostly in our kids and host team, we are understaffed when it comes to volunteers. We need people to step up and play a part. But we've also got this luxury of we have enough people serving that it's not like all on your shoulders. Like if you take over or start serving in an area, it's all just going to be dropped on you. There's a lot of great people that are going to come alongside of you and help you and teach you and help you to become better and better at serving in that area. But whatever area you feel called to serve, would you let us know on that card? You can drop it in the box in the back of the room on your way out today or fill it out by scanning the QR code. But don't put it off. Everybody is called to serve. Some people are like, do I have a calling to ministry or not? I'm like, yes, you have a calling. If you are a Christian, you have a calling on your life. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't say when I'm less busy. Now's the time. God, I thank you that you have allowed us to play a part in your big plan of what you're accomplishing in this world. I thank you for the lives that are being transformed. God, help us to become more like you in the way we give of ourselves sacrificially. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.